You're listening to Inside iOS Dev, show about real-world iOS development. Today with you, your hosts, Alex Bush.
And Andrew Rohn.
We're back. Back
in business after a two-month-long hiatus. So, yeah. What have you been up to, Alex? What have you been so busy doing?
MicroConf, traveling to Europe, and now looking for a new contract.
Okay, and by contract you mean what?
Like project contract, new. So your full-time gig.
What's your current thing going on right now, and what's happening?
So current thing, Uber, and it's been going for more than a year now, maybe get closer to a year and a half. But that's over, and probably from today when we're recording, in a week or two, I'm gonna be done and looking for the next thing.
Okay, so you're ending your job with Uber that you've been there for like a year and a half or something.
Mm-hmm.
You've been traveling the world, and now you're back at the Inside iOS Dev Studio.
Oh, yeah, back to the roots.
Great.
So how about you?
I also was traveling, although probably not as much as you, but I did travel to speak at AppDevCon in Amsterdam, which was a pretty amazing experience. First time speaking in a sort of external speaker capacity at a conference, basically. I've spoken at other events in the past, not related to development or like programming, but so I have some experience. But this was the first time really on a stage this big and in programming. It was pretty interesting.
I heard you killed it. And
really? Yeah. Who told you that?
You know, people on the internet tweeting.
Oh, okay. You're saying like the people who really liked it. Right. Yeah, I think I hope people liked it. I tried to make it useful. I think what I was trying to answer was like, what would I want to know if I was like not at Reddit?
Yeah. So what was the topic?
Well, the title of the talk was Evolving Mobile Architecture at Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, it's basically that. It talks about the evolution of our architecture on the iOS app specifically at Reddit, and sort of the steps that we've taken, and it kind of tries to emphasize the evolutionary aspect of architecture, where it's a sort of natural outgrowth of the problems you're facing at the time, and just always trying to stay one step ahead instead of, you know, trying to be five steps ahead and being too abstract, just kind of reacting to real needs and challenges, and what the problems were, what the solutions were, and like things like how the team dynamic changed and stuff like that. So it's a lot of content, and I right. don't really think I did full justice, even given it was a 45-minute talk, and I literally used up like 44 minutes. Like there was no time for Q&A. So, yeah.
Was it recorded? Can people access it?
Yeah, it has not been published yet. It looks like they take a couple months at DevCon before they publish it. So it should actually, I'm thinking within like the next, hopefully, couple of weeks, it'll be put out. And you can go to the AppDevCon website and they upload them there historically. So I'm personally looking forward to that because I want to see how I did. I don't know. We'll see. And I can hopefully improve.
Right.
Yeah.
And the content, it was sort of from your recent experience, right? Doing that right. at Reddit.
Right. And I think I wrote a blog post of the same title for Reddit, actually, the official Reddit blog. And we talked about it on this mm-hmm. podcast. I expounded on that article a little more. It's actually sort of the same thematically, but it's now sort of the next stage of the evolution. I did talk about the model view presenter stuff that we did. But now I also talked more in depth about what we've been doing now in terms of big architectural changes is modularizing the code base out into these separate modules. And so the two major themes were MVP architecture for helping us achieve a faster feed, which really is really what that was it allowing us to have a dual view layer implementation as we transferred over to use the Texture asynchronous layout framework and roll out in a stepwise fashion and like A-B test on when we think it would be safe to do a full release to, you know, the broader public. And then now the talk also talks about this modularization wherein we've created, the major piece would be Reddit Core, which is basically, as the name suggests, it's like the core business logic, business domain logic of the Reddit applications. And I like to think of Reddit Core as it's like a framework for creating a Reddit iOS app. And you can sort of, it will like think, do things like, it's sort of, I like to think of it also as like the API for the feature iOS developer.
Right.
Like the apps infra, which is the team I'm on, which is like the infrastructure team, we create the API for the feature developers to use. So everything's wrapped up in, they're not writing network code, right? They're simply calling into this framework that we provide them. So
that would be networking code. I would assume some caching logic.
Yeah, it's quite a lot actually. Account management, networking code. Caching model, like domain model, like the object graph management, that kind of stuff.
Any UI, like platform UI components or something?
No,
like that?
No. The UI, and this is another framework that I've personally been working on. It's called Reddit UI. And that is another module we've created. And that is where we put our concrete iOS view implementation stuff in there. So like if we have a custom button or a custom pop-up or whatever, the feature dev, this is this other important module, Reddit UI is for the feature dev. This is their API for creating layout and creating UI, and it does things like also like theming automatically. And this is the frame. I guess you can think of this one as the framework. Reddit UI is the framework for creating the iOS, the UI of an iOS app, a Reddit iOS app. So when you combine them together, you have these two very powerful frameworks where ideally then you can have just feature developers spin up the whatever features they need to make faster because they're leveraging these frameworks.
Yeah, and this modularization works quite well, actually. I mean, we have the same thing at Uber. We have platform UI, shared UI framework, and something else. And yeah, sort of similar purpose, right? Feature devs, we use it. And that way, it's consistent look throughout the application, right?
Exactly.
The theming, all of that can be broadcasted and propagated down from the core of the app to all the features. So,
yeah.
So, once again, that talk sort of touches upon it. Where can people find it eventually when it's out?
AppDevCon.nl. Yeah. Okay. And we'll put it in the show notes and also probably put do it from our Twitter at Inside Iowa's Dev. If you follow us, you can find it there. We'll post it, tweet it out once it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what else I've been doing in the meantime as I was traveling and such?
What?
Both of us traveling. I started this iOS tweets or tips, coding tips.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw them.
No, I have. I've seen they're really popular. They have like very high engagement.
So basically what I do now, once a week, usually on Tuesday, I tweet one short, small, I guess, tweetable coding tip, either for Swift or iOS development. And yeah, I mean, some of them are, you know, people like them. Some just no one notices. But there's a hashtag, so if you guys will also put it in the show notes. So if you want to follow, you can follow through hashtag, and also there is an email list if you want to just get them in your inbox.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll be doing more of that. I'm planning to do it every week. Hopefully, you know, I can...
In perpetuity.
Yeah, keep coming up with content every week. But yeah, I mean, I don't have any stories from my travels sort of about iOS or development stuff. I was at a more of a business-focused conference, MicroConf.
Mm.
But I'm glad to be back. It's a bit stressful. I'm looking for a job.
Someone hire. Someone, please.
Right? But no, yeah. We'll see how that goes. This market is amazing for developers. So yeah. I can't really complain.
Let's talk about... you also have given your first conference talk, tech conference talk, right? Semi-recently.
Yes. Wait, when was it?
That was last year.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Maybe like a full year ago.
Swift Fest.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, full year ago, because it was summer.
And what was the talk?
What was the talk? How to prep... I forgot the title.
How to prep for an iOS interview.
To be honest, yeah, but how to prep for an iOS interview, exactly.
Okay. How did that go?
Well, I'm glad it wasn't recorded.
Wow.
No, okay. I mean, it went well, actually. Yeah, I wish it was recorded so I can sort of see myself perform and kind of improve, right? Because
right.
Otherwise, I just don't really know. I the only thing I know, I was very nervous and was prepping till the last second.
Oh, okay. This is great. I think this will be really useful. This is kind of what I personally was hoping to get out of this episode is like, I think both of us were way underprepared for our conference talks. Way, way underprepared. It was miserable, for me at least, getting ready. And I think it would be good if we can share some info since we're still kind of fresh. And maybe, you know, for speakers who are more experienced might take things for granted. And we can share here and talk about how we got invited to these conference talks, or I guess we applied and got invited, and then how we prepared and all this, so that people who are listening who want to give conference talks can listen to this as like a reference, as a guide.
Sure, yeah. I mean, for me, sort of to quickly recap and things that I kind of recall, I was invited, I believe. And
oh, look at you.
Yeah, in that regard, it was way easier.
Yeah.
I still had to put together a abstract and sort of polish it up.
What is an abstract?
It's basically a short description of what the hell you're going to be talking about.
Okay.
And
is it like 3 pages, 2 paragraphs?
I believe it was like 2 paragraphs.
Yeah, it's pretty short. Mine was too. Yeah.
I used bullet points specifically in mine, sort of kind of get to the point though. Like, this is what the audience will learn, right? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I mean, yeah, that's how I was thinking about it when I wrote it. I was thinking like, imagine I'm a conference organizer and I need to have a... certain kinds of content, like cannot have 17 talks all on like a model view presenter or
right,
something, right? So, and I'm probably getting a lot of these as a conference organizer and I only have so much time. So my thinking was like, in the shortest possible amount of like information without being too bare, how can I let them know what this talk is going to be about and like also what will make it stand out versus other talks? For me, I think that was when I was writing was that this talk is about building an iOS app at Reddit scale, like a company at Reddit scale. And so I think people are really interested in that, especially given Reddit, quite honestly, the scale we have relative to the number of developers we have is like insane.
Yeah.
Like I think, I don't know, I feel like some people think of Reddit as like this huge organization when and relative to the amount of users it has, it's tiny. And so I think it's, at least me, as an outsider of other companies, Reddit's the kind of company that I would be interested in listening to. So that was something that was like sort of the, I think, selling point, or like maybe that's not the right word, but just I knew something.
It was a hook, definitely.
Kind of a hook to like, because that's, I would be interested in the topic. There's lots of companies out there like that where I wish they would talk more about their stuff. Because there's like the Facebooks of the world, mm-hmm. which are like ginormous, and like the Ubers, for example, who give talks. And that's, they're just like on another scale, like just a order of magnitude. And I think Reddit is below that, an order of magnitude.
Yeah, but it's order of magnitude above, though, your normal five dev team, right?
Right. And I think that's what makes it interesting, because it's the evolution from not, like, I feel like so many of the talks out there are like, oh, either here's how a company of like three devs did it, or like, because it's some indie dev giving a talk, or it's like a representative at Uber being like, when you have a team of 300 people, and it's like, and like, what's the in between? And I feel like Reddit's kind of at that point. So mm-hmm. I was like, that was kind of what I was trying to put in the abstract, show that like, this is interesting content, because I'm showing the evolutionary step, the in between. Right. Yeah.
I had 4 months, 5 months to prep the talk. And of course, I think 2 months before, that's when I really like start to get to it.
Wow.
Which was not enough time. Actually, it was not enough time.
2 months, that's double the amount of time I started. And yes, it's not enough time. If it's your first talk, it's definitely, yeah. I imagine later you like get in the habit, you know how to do it. I would say your first talk, I would say at the minimum 2 months ahead of time, start prepping. Minimum.
Yeah. I tried different approaches. It's kind of because I didn't even know what would work for me. I think I tried to script it out, like just write it all down, like a blog post sort of.
Mm.
That didn't work because that was just too granular. Because like the first sort of half of the time I spent was just to figure out, well, you know, I knew what I'm going to talk about, which is iOS interviews, right? And sort of general and how to prep for them. But specifics, like what actually am I saying? And what are those things that I'm putting in? And I had like probably five different iterations of that, because there's so much I could actually say, but there was only same 45 minutes.
And even that's a long time for a talk. A lot of them are like 25 minutes, you know. So. Yeah.
Which ultimately, I remember what helped a lot, I started to record myself, give the talk. And that way I would like meander and, you know, stumble upon things. But that got me sort of quicker to, oh, this makes sense to deliver here. And this sort of flows better, if you will. But this doesn't. And then I'll sort of polish that.
Okay, so you did the blog style thing. That didn't work. Mm-hmm. Then after that, you did a what style? Like,
I would just pull out QuickTime and start recording myself.
You would just literally talk, like literally off the cuff, yep. Completely unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what you're talking about, just like in how we prepare for this podcast, basically.
Pretty much.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so, no, but you just decided to just talk and see, like, okay, natural conversation. Right. I like that approach.
Along the way, before I would record, I would put together, I don't know, five slides, right? And then I hit record and talk about those five slides.
Mm.
Sort of having that as a...
That's a little
guideline.
Yeah, it's a little structure. I like it. Little skeleton.
Still, I had to like redo so many things so many times. It was crazy. Didn't expect it to be that hard.
Yeah.
And I was doing it till the very last day. I think I remember I was sending you those recordings at some point.
Like, I was like, talking to my girlfriend, and I was like, oh, Alex is sending me these, and he has his conference like tomorrow or something like that. Like, literally, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad. But then, I mean, it got into some level of polish, and I got some confidence in it. And then I gave the talk. I think people liked it. No one threw anything at me, so I'm assuming it was fine.
Wow, that's a low, very low bar. No one right. spat at me. Therefore, no. Yeah, well, you said a lot of people came up to you and asked questions, so that's good. I feel like that yeah. shows some interest.
And I left 10 minutes-ish at the end, or they gave us 10 minutes or something like that. Yeah, for Q&A. And actually, I do like that. I'd rather sort of doing it next time. I will rather leave some time for Q&A.
Same here. I wish I could have done Q&A, even if it's like two questions, like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think for me, preparing, the one of the big lessons I learned, at least this is what worked for me, was creating a narrative, because I realized a good talk, like, I started like a month, maybe slightly like 5 weeks before, which mm-hmm. is like way, way too late, especially for a topic of my scope. It's huge. I guess I was a little confident because I had written the blog post already and spoken about it on the podcast, but it's still different giving a conference talk.
But the thing is, you think a month is a long time,
it's
but
not.
It's the having a full-time job and only having
yeah,
like
a month is basically like a Sunday every, yeah. so you have like 4 days.
Pretty much.
When you're like full-time and like doing projects like us, right? It's like we really don't have time. So, I would have started at least 2 months out, probably like even 3 months out. And I think what happened for me was I was being very, in the beginning, slide-centric, which I know is a common problem. I was reading some blogs and reading how a lot of people, they write the slides first, and then they're like trying to fit their talk to the slides, which is awkward because the slides should never be the focus, which I know intuitively. And yeah, and just the point I was making earlier, I would go online and watch good talks, like even TED Talks, like not even TED Talks that are not about tech, or even just tech talkers that I really like admire. And what I noticed is it's all about the story. Like you have to tell a compelling story, and the slides are just merely a visual aid. Like I guess ideally like if the projector went down, it would be great if you could still tell a great talk, a great story without these visual aids. It's like more like this extra. And so I think for me, what I did was like, I said, okay, I'm going to step back from the slides and not care about what they look like. I'm just going to literally put like, kind of like you would like a guide, like this is the topic here. And then I just left it alone. And then I decided to write a story, like more probably like the blog posting you were trying to do. And I said, and I didn't try to make it perfect, like I wasn't going to publish it, but it was a story in my head that like had a narrative arc, right? Of like, here is where we're at. And then like, okay, the arc is going up. Like, here is where we were. And like, here's the problems we ran into, conflict. And then like, what's the resolution? And then like, at the very end, having the like falling action and the denouement. If you want to be French, I believe it's called, that like sort of wraps up the story. And I did that. And then after I did that, then I went to the slides and said, okay, how am I going to fit the slides to this story? Mm. And like, how will they help aid tell the story rather than tell the story for me? And I think that was the big lesson for me.
I think that's the mistake I made. I was trying to fit my thing into the slides. And right. then I had to redo the slides many, many times because it wouldn't flow well, right?
Right.
Interesting. Another sort of takeaway for me, pack way less stuff and content in it, or sort of things you want to touch upon. Because I realized I had too many. And I should have narrowed it down, like probably maybe just pick 1/4 of it or something and just go sort of deeper in that.
Totally. It's all about cutting out the extra. Mm-hmm. I mean, I made my talk in 44 minutes and I got insanely lucky because I literally, okay, so like I said, I started a month like kind of seriously writing it. And then I was like the week before the conference talk, the weekend before, I'm like, I'm nowhere close to getting where I'm comfortable talking. And so then I kind of had to like really work on the conference talk, like I felt like I was literally in college again, where like you're so busy at finals week. Like seriously, because I'm here, I am writing this presentation, and then of course going to my regular full time job, and I was totally stressing. And then I'm not done. I'm not done with the talk yet. We're flying out to Amsterdam from San Francisco, and so my plan was like, as soon as I get to Amsterdam, I need to work on this thing. So I didn't even really visit Amsterdam, the city, like, you know, while I was there, because I didn't have time. And I was preparing my conference talk. I practiced it literally one time in full in front of my girlfriend in our hotel room. She's not a technical person. I practiced it one single time in full. I did not get to practice it multiple times in full because I was just trying to get this thing done. And then I practiced it one time in full in front of my girlfriend, like an hour before the talk. Then I was like, okay, I got to head there now. I got there like 15 minutes before my talk time slot started. And while I was waiting in the stands, or, you know, in the audience area, I was still working on the talk, like doing last second touches. And then the person stopped talking. I go up there and I go to the lady and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm here. I just got here. I probably didn't even follow protocol, to be honest. Like they were like probably wondering where I was. And I just showed up. And then the woman's like, oh, okay, cool, let's put this on. I'm like, yeah, this is my first conference talk. I'm like, I'm a little nervous. I just got here. And she's like, okay, well, you have the main stage, so.
And then she just threw you on the stage.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And so it was pretty crazy.
You know what I did? I was done prepping an hour before. And 30 minutes before my talk, I just went to the stage and I watched the person before me. That was a huge mistake.
I know, especially if they're like this super, like, you yep. know, charismatic speaker on stage, then it's like
yeah, I was just watching and freaking out.
The bar had been set high. Okay, but, so yeah. Another thing that I learned, you're probably not going to be familiar with like the stage setup, and like think about like one important thing is, if you like to walk around, some conference like stage setups will not allow you to walk around because they might have like a fixed camera or like, I don't know, some rule. So that might be something to find out ahead of time. Like, can you move around? Also find out, are you going to have to bring your own laptop, or do they prefer you to send your talk to them? What else? Also, are there going to, I forget what it's called, it's like a monitor or something like that, that will show you your slides, your talk, like in monitors in front of you. That way you don't have to like look back at the screen, the large screen that the audience are looking at, because that's helpful. That way you don't have to keep like referring back.
That thing didn't work for me somehow. So I had to be near my laptop because I couldn't just, you know, well, look back at that.
Yeah, I did the same. I was not really able to move because the camera was fixed there, and then they had a podium for the laptop, and I didn't want to just like be looking back all the time at the slide, so I just looked at my laptop. So it was like, it was okay. I wish I could have been able to move around more, but it's okay. Another thing is also a clicker. If you want a clicker, you know, maybe bring one of your own or ask if they have one. Because if you like to walk around, honestly, I think ideally if I had a clicker and could walk around, that would have been like best for me, because I had like nerves and it would have been nice to walk around a little bit. Yeah, I think those are like the logistical things of like, you might take for granted. Also, like, maybe if they're going to mic you, think about, I don't know if you're wearing certain clothing, if like they'll be able to mic you. Those kinds of like logistical things. And if it's your first time speaking, you might be more nervous about those things. So it might help to find out that ahead of time. Just email the conference organizer or whoever.
Right.
Yeah. Another, and I think you were talking in terms of like length. You were saying like stopping shorter. I like that, and I agree. And Julian told me, Julian's a friend who's been on the episode in the past.
Uh-huh.
Him and it's like Alex and Julian.
Oh, the language fight.
Dueling over JavaScript.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Language battle.
I'll have a revenge. Revenge. Since revenge. We're in a French theme.
Okay. Julian had given a talk, and one piece of advice that I really liked was, he's like, always end like if they give you 45 minutes, aim for like 30 minutes. Because it's way better to end 15 minutes early than it is to end 15 minutes, or sorry, even like 5 minutes late and rush. Because you can always do Q&A. And even if they don't have a Q&A, whatever, like the next speaker will have a longer break. And as what happens with these talks, it's very hard to stay within your allotted time limit. Like things pop up, like the next speaker could have taken longer. And so now you got bumped 5 minutes left off your time. So just have some safe buffer zone. If it's your first talk, you probably are not super polished and gonna always end in exactly the time you plan. So probably it's good to give yourself plenty of buffer. I really lucked out. I ended literally, it was like 44 minutes. I took up the whole thing. But, you know, I got lucky.
So, Andrew, are you ever going to do it again?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I wish I had more time to sort of apply to more places.
I know, same here. It's hard to find the time.
Yeah, but soon.
Yeah, guys, if you're interested in giving a conference talk, send us an email and let us know what any questions you have or how we can help out in any way. Definitely would like to help. You can email us at hello@insideiowasdev.com. You can also contact us on Twitter at @insideiowasdev. Yeah, thanks for listening. We are back. Inside Iowa's Dev has not stopped. We've just been crazy busy, as we were saying earlier. So we're going to try to start getting these regularly again out to you guys. We would typically do every 2 weeks, and so we want to continue doing that.
Well, we'll see you next time.
Okay, take care. Bye.